David Sparks and Jason Snell spent their careers working for the establishment. Then one day, they'd had enough. Now, they are independent workers, learning what it takes to succeed in the 21st century. They are free agents.
This is the Free Agents bonus episode here on Relay FM. Thank you so much for being a member of Relay FM. I'm Jason Snell, and I am with me, as always, my fellow host of Free Agents, Mr. David Sparks. Hi, David.
I don't know how to feel about this episode. I feel like it's like...
What number is it? It has no number.
Free Agents gone wild. What do we do?
What's going to happen? We don't even know. What would a Free Agents episode, bonus episode, look like? And I had a couple ideas, and these may crash and burn, but that's okay. It's the bonus episode. It's all in fun. I wanted to ask you, and then you can turn the tables on me, too. I wanted to talk about what we do as a result of being free agents, sort of when we go off the clock, like the things we do outside of our work in our lives as a free agent, flexibility, how we take advantage of the off hours, when we close the door or turn off the light or shut down the iMac or whatever it is. What is the stuff that you do that is outside of the sphere of being a lawyer and being a podcaster and being a writer about tech stuff?
I have such a long list. Where do I start?
Yeah, well, let's start with like an average week and weekend. Like, what kind of stuff goes on?
Lately, I'll tell you, I'm getting really... I used to be really into music, and I was in the garage like 3 months ago and saw my saxophone in the case in the corner that I hadn't played for years. And I got thinking, you know what? I work from home a lot, and I could put that thing right next to my desk. And when I need a 10-15 minute break, I could pick it up and play a few scales. So I set it up, and now I'm playing the sax probably about a half hour a day.
Wow.
I love doing that.
That's awesome.
Not something I could have done in the law firm, you know?
And it's funny. We were talking on a previous regular episode of Free Agents, because this doesn't count, it's not in the canon, about passion projects. And yeah, one of the things that I said, and I really believe, is as a worker, it's great to change, whether you're working on a passion project or is it just a different kind of work in your job.
Yeah,
like, use a different part of your brain. Even for a few minutes, it can make resets things. You're doing background processing, like picking up a saxophone. That sounds like perfect in terms of just shifting out of what you're working on for a minute and being somewhere else and doing something else.
It's great because I used to be pretty good, but now I'm terrible because I haven't played for all these years and trying to rebuild my chops. Mm-hmm. And a lot of jazz music really comes down to math problems. I mean, that's one way to look at it, because, you know, you've got to figure out how the scales fit together and what notes make sense and don't make sense. And so I've been really working hard on just getting in all the different 12 major scales, learning the modes and the patterns that you play. So taking a half hour to just devote your brain to thinking about that, something completely different from solving a legal problem or getting the right, you know, screencast done or whatever, really resets you. And a lot of times when I'm done, whatever was bugging me before, I'll have the solution in my head. It's that subconscious mind thing going on.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
It really happens.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I'm doing. You give me one.
Oh, boy. Well, I would say I've been one of the things that I like to do. I got a dog.
Yeah.
She's a boxer. She's little. She's a little boxer. Everybody thinks she's a puppy, but she's not. She's 6 years old. She was a rescue. We adopted her a couple years ago. And so she's, even though she's 6 years old, she is energetic. And you can tell when she hasn't been walked.
Yeah.
And so walking the dog, we didn't walk our old dog a lot. She didn't demand to be walked, and she had a dog door, which we don't have anymore. And so she would just go in the backyard, and occasionally she'd run around. I feel bad that we didn't walk her more, but this dog needs to be walked every day. So during the summer months, we are right now, in the evening after I'm done, that's like either we'll walk the dog and then make dinner, or we'll make dinner and then we'll walk the dog. And so that is in the summer, that's like my boundary, is we will go, and not just around the block. Generally, we will take the dog over to, there's a elementary school that my kids went to that's near our house. We'll walk the dog over there. We'll let her off the leash and let her run around a little bit on the playground, because it's in the evening and there's nobody around. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then during the winter, I will, when the kids are in school and when there's not really enough light at the end of the day to have dinner and walk the dog for a lengthy amount of time, when it's still light out, which I'd prefer to do because we let her off the leash. So instead, I will usually take her during the day. So 11 o'clock, something like that. I'll get up, do some work in the morning for a few hours, and then I've got this break where it's sort of not lunchtime yet, but I'm ready for a mode shift and to do something a little bit different. And sometimes I will just take the dog out for a walk then, especially if I've just sort of gotten up and I haven't taken a shower or anything and I've just been working, then I'll just walk the dog and then I'll come back and take a shower and make some lunch, and then I'm ready for the afternoon. So I'm using the dog as one way of kind of getting out of the house and getting my body moving, and then on, you know, 3 or 4 days out of the whole week, I try to do either go for a run or go for like a bike ride or something like that. Yeah. which takes the time away from the dog, which means I got to find another time to walk the dog or whatever. But I need to. The dog walking is not really good exercise, and she is a terrible dog to run with. I can't do that.
Yeah.
She won't do it.
Just
so
sit down.
she will run for a while, and then she'll smell something, and then she'll stop, and then I die because my arm has been pulled out of its socket. She's not that kind of dog. So the dog is a good way for me to kind of like do some stuff. Another funny thing that I've been doing is I never ate lunch. Like, I never took lunch when I worked. I would always like either bring a lunch or go get a lunch, and then I would just eat it at my desk while I was working on stuff, more or less. And I have occasionally, the last few months, been like watching a TV show while I eat my lunch. Sometimes even standing in the kitchen, but I'll put something on my iPad or maybe even on the TV. And it's like incredibly novel, but it's like a little bit of a lunch break, and it changes my kind of brain a little bit. And I get that rest. And what must it be like to have a lunch break? But I never, ever have done that before. And I did that occasionally with TV shows that my wife doesn't want to watch that I want to watch. So like Twin Peaks is a good example, where I've started watching Twin Peaks at lunchtime because when else am I going to watch it when nobody's around?
Yeah, I occasionally, I sometimes just eat a quick bite and get back to work. But if I'm feeling a little stressed, I do find that fun to just like make a bowl of soup. We have that Acorn service as part of the Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So the British, it's all these British mysteries. I mean, I guess the mysteries must be super popular in England.
Yeah, I mean, it's land of Agatha Christie, land of Sherlock Holmes.
And so I'll just pick one almost at random, and they're always good. And and usually it takes me 2 or 3 days to watch it.
Acorn TV. Yeah, so you watch it in installments. Yeah, yeah,
and,
sure.
So I'll do that once in a while. That's fun.
Yeah.
Another thing I do a lot is, just I take walks as well, but usually first thing in the morning with my wife. But I think we're talking today about things we do for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's all like outside of work and trying to strike a balance. My wife and I try to take walks, but back when we were walking our son to school, that was our routine, is we drop him off and then walk a little bit and then come back. But now that he goes off on his own, it doesn't happen as often. And we're just getting back to school time now, so we'll see how it goes. That right now, it's the kids aren't going anywhere, so nobody gets up in the morning. I'm looking forward to getting the kids out the door in the morning and having my, that means my wife and I would have like an hour and a half before she has to go to work, because she leaves her work at 9:30. So maybe we'll do that then. But that's just, you know, it's one of the things to do. Get out, get moving, see the world, fresh air.
Another self-indulgent thing I've started doing recently is we ended up with a Nintendo Switch in the house.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, the girls are really into Mario Kart. So, but we got like a package, and it came with this game, Zelda, which I'd never played before.
Right. Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. And, John Siracusa has been talking about Zelda for years. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll give it a try. And now I've got 15 hours logged into this game.
It's just the beginning.
It took me about a month to get 15 hours, but I have some friends that have really put a lot of time into that game. I kind of look at it as the slow burn for me. Like I was telling somebody, I think this is my Nintendo Switch game. It may take me a couple years to finish this game, but I'll eventually get there. So if I want to play, I haven't played video games really that often for a long time, but now I've got one I can play when I want to, and it's kind of fun. Although I have to admit, I probably do most of that not taking breaks from work, but when my family's watching something on TV and I don't want to watch it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I find myself doing that. My daughter is a Netflix nut, and there are some shows that we've introduced her to, and she's just binged through them. But there's some shows that my wife very intelligently has decided are going to be ones they watch together, and so she's not allowed to go ahead.
Yeah.
And it's great because they watch them together, and it's a nice kind of mother-daughter moment. And sometimes I'll watch those because they're shows that I like. But sometimes I look at it, and it's like, I'm going to let them have this moment, and I'm going to go do something else. So that happens.
You do anything else to get away?
You know, one of the problems with a lot of the stuff, a lot of the podcasting I do is that for The Incomparable is that we're talking, I'm on every episode, right?
Yeah.
There are a handful of episodes I haven't been on. And that means that I've got a panel of 20, 25, 30 people who kind of come in and out, but I'm the constant. And that means that nobody else has to consume every TV show, movie, book, comic book, video game that we talk about, but I do.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of time. So I find, you know, most of the books I've read over the last 9 months have been books that led to a podcast. Most of the TV shows I watch, most of the movies I watch, not all, but a lot of that time is pleasure time. It's pleasurable. I wouldn't agree to do it if it wasn't something I liked, but I do have that realization. Like I'm reading book 7 of The Dark Tower by Stephen King, which I decided I'd read the first 3 books in the series. I was going to read the whole series because people wanted to do a podcast about it. And I'm like, all right, I want to finish that series. I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm in book 7. I'm on page 400 of 1,000. It's a 1,000-page final book because he really has to. He promised it would be the last book, but had a lot to say, I guess. And it's one of those things that, you know, I'll finish it and we'll do a podcast on it. But I will look back and say, I have not read a book that wasn't a Dark Tower book or one of the Hugo Award or Nebula Award nominees this year. And it will be September.
I feel like I get to have more fun than you do because I listen to those shows you make and I'm like, oh, that sounds like a good book. And I'll read it for absolute pleasure.
Yeah, well, people ask me, how do you do it? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know how I do it. I don't know. A lot of times people will say, what about this show? I think you'd really do a great episode on it. And I'll say, I haven't seen it, and it's like 120 hours of TV, and it's never going to happen. Like, I'm sure it's great, but it's never going to happen. I think one of the things that 7 years into The Incomparable, because it has been about 7 years since we started.
Yeah.
I realized this because we hit episode 365, and that literally just means 52 weeks a year times 7.
Yeah.
Is 365.
Yeah.
You get you can listen to an episode every day. That maybe at this point I need to start, depending on the kindness of my friends, to host episodes for me every now and then. Like I have no policy here, so I'm going to throw out numbers, but I don't think I actually mean them. But like every 4th episode or every 6th episode, if it's not me, just to give me a break and to let some of these topics that my friends who are on this podcast care about, but I don't, room to be there, because I don't need to play every video game. I don't need to watch every TV show. You know, I feel like I can probably let some of that go because that is a funny, I mean, and again, boohoo. I was talking to my friend Tony Sindelar, who does a bunch of Incomparable stuff, about this. It's like boohoo. I have to watch, he was working on his summer project was Batman, animated series podcast that he does for The Incomparable. And he's like, I can't complain to people that I'm being forced to watch Batman for work. And you can't complain, but still it sucks into the time budget. And I'm trying to be wary of that. Because there's stuff that I want to watch that I don't want to podcast about. It's kind of a luxury not to podcast about something, but that's a more limited because I've podcastized my life, basically.
Yeah,
and this is the downside of
that.
You
don't have a single unpublished thought.
There are moments when I think that. That's like, oh, I like space. Let's do a podcast. Oh, I quit my job. Let's do a podcast. And then what is left? Somebody asked me some show that I said on a podcast that I watched. And they're like, why don't you do a weekly recap of that show? And it's like, I can't. I can't. I am out of things that I can say. I'm done with that. Yeah.
One of the things that's helped me is I am actually really careful with my media diet. Like when someone tells me about a good show, if it is a traditional 26 episode per season show, it's pretty much a non-starter for me. I don't watch any shows that have 26 episodes per season. And so I don't watch that much television. And when I decided I was going to be very careful about how much time I spent consuming that kind of media, I also gave myself permission to go deep on the few things that I like. And
sure.
So, and I grew up with Star Wars. I love Star Wars so much. You've been to my house. My backyard is slowly morphing into a Star Wars.
Yeah, I thought they were building Star Wars land in Disneyland, but it turns out they're building it at your house.
And yeah. I've got a, so I had a painter friend that was looking for some work. So I had her paint the Rebel logo on my shed. I've got various plastic models hanging from the rafters. So it is kind of, people come over and they look at me like, okay, he is really weird. But so I've given myself permission to go deep on that. So that's another thing I do when I want time down. Sometimes I've got books about the making of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I know more about it now than a grown man should, but that's kind of a thing for me.
Do you watch all the Star Wars? Are you watching Star Wars Rebels and things like that?
In fact, there's a popular podcast called Rebel Force Radio that I'm occasionally a guest on, and we go into some of the episodes. And I went to the celebration this year, and
you and Dan Morin both. I think people know more that Dan is a huge Star Wars fan, but you were right there with him.
Yeah. So Dan and I talk. We in Slack channels sometimes we have very serious conversations about very ridiculous things, but it's fun.
I knew we were going to get to Star Wars. I actually had that on my list of things we could talk about is Star Wars. And the ultimate free agent showdown would be Star Wars versus Star Trek, but we can just I love Star Wars. I grew up a Star Trek fan. I am definitely a Star Trek fan through and through, but we all give each other a hard time, and Scott McNulty comes in and says things about how Star Wars is stupid, and then he swoops away again. But in reality, I love Star Wars and I love Star Trek. There's a new Star Trek series coming on this fall. I'm very excited about it. I am unclear whether I'm going to have to podcast about it. I think I'm going to make Scott do it. Yeah. But I love that you have a thing that you when this goes out, it may be over, but I'm deep down in Game of Thrones where
me too.
That's one of my, are you one of those too?
My 20 year old and I are, it's like a thing we do together now, and we talk to each other. I mean, like the show airs on Sunday night, and on Wednesday afternoon, just out of the blue, she'll say, "What if Daenerys is this?" You know, it's like, you know, you can tell it's like on her mind, and we've been having a really good time with it. And it's kind of fun watching it together. Those super awkward moments when there's a sex scene on television and you're sitting with your 20 year old daughter.
Yeah.
And just trying to decide which one of us is more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But so that's cool. You're talking about Star Trek. That's because Katie Floyd and I have this conversation all the time.
I know
too.
You do.
Like you, I love Star Wars, but Star Trek was always there for me too. When I was in law school, it was really hard. I was on scholarship. You know, I had to keep my grades to a certain level or I was going to have to give them a lot of money. So I worked really hard, but it was at the time that The Next Generation was in syndication. Mm-hmm. And it was on at 7 o'clock every night. And I would stop and make my top ramen and spend an hour with Captain Picard. And I swear to you, that's what got me through that whole process. Mm-hmm. You know, so I love Star Trek too.
That's beautiful. Yeah, my original Star Trek was on 5 o'clock every night as a kid, and I those 72 episodes or whatever it is, I just watched those endlessly.
Yeah.
And I don't remember it not being part of my life, and I loved it. It was on the playground. I in first grade, I was playing Star Trek on the playground, and being Captain Kirk and trying to hit people in the between the shoulder blades like he did, which was not a really effective fighting maneuver for anyone, especially on the playground in first grade. And then you're right. Next generation for me is college. It's not just college. Next generation actually started my senior year in high school, and it ended when it ended my last year in graduate school.
Yeah.
And so it brackets like me being a senior in high school with me living in my first apartment with my soon to be wife.
Yeah.
And but college right in the middle of that. And like we would have it. It's funny when I think about it now because it's nostalgia, but it's also just kind of funny of like these are the nerds at the college newspaper because we would have it on like in the college newspaper offices while we were working. Star Trek would come on. And that was the first that was in the first run. So where it was all, like the new episode was on Saturday night at 7 or whenever it was on. I forget. In San Diego, I think it was on Saturday night. In L.A., the L.A. station showed it on like Wednesday night or something like that. And that was just part of the we had a party when Deep Space Nine premiered at like somebody's house to do a viewing party of Deep Space Nine because it was such a big deal, which is just it's hilarious. But nerds,
I'm still mad about the way Sisko treated Picard in that first episode.
I know exactly what you mean. There was a lot of grousing about that during the during the airing of the pilot. That was and I actually true to the something that I didn't understand in high school, but I understood in college was I'm thinking back to who was at that party when we were watching Deep Space Nine, and it was mostly women and some men. And I think that was one of those things that I realized when I went to college was and I'm sure we had nerdy women in or girls in my high school, maybe, but I was a small town and all that. But I went to college and it was like, oh, Star Trek is for everybody. And that was an awesome realization when like everybody you knew, all the men, all the women, everybody was like, what is going to happen to Captain Picard? are they going to get him back from the Borg? It was a beautiful thing to see that. And that has carried on. That's one of those things that I actually get really mad when people try to like gatekeep fandom, because I discovered at that moment it was such a wonderful thing. Like, you know, all these people care about it. There's no gatekeeper here to say, are these people real Star Trek fans or not? Like, all of these people, men and women alike, who totally cared about and would probably not have walked around with Star Trek ears, like Spock ears on or something like that, but they were super into the question of, especially if Picard would survive the attack from the Borg. It was just that was the culture. It wasn't just nerdery, it was culture.
One of my earliest memories, I don't know how old I was, but it was watching the episode of Star Trek, the original series, the episode that dealt with racism that had
the black and white and the white and black.
Yeah, there was
so they were
trying
the
to kill each other, mm-hmm. and one of them had black on one side and white on the other side. And I was very young. I mean, I don't know how young I was, mm-hmm. but and I just remember thinking, well, that's just stupid. And I was just telling somebody, I think that moment was defining for me. As to a lot of things, as you grow up and being considerate and thinking about other people, I feel like that really was just that little thing Gene Roddenberry did, I think, made a huge difference for me.
Well, a lot of the Roddenberry stuff stuck with me in the his sort of humanism. We joke about it. There's so much. See, I love the original Star Trek, and I love to joke about it too, because a lot of it is silly, and I still like love it unconditionally. But there are some moments where Captain Kirk is down on a planet somewhere, and there's some sort of totalitarian society. Maybe it's run by a giant supercomputer. Who knows? And the message was always the power of the individual and the power of the humans and the collective and the society, and how that was the most powerful force, and that you had to overthrow this unfeeling agent that could be a representative of, you name it, of a totalitarian state or of a religion. It didn't really matter. Roddenberry was kind of like just telling that story about how human spirit should overcome that, and free will should overcome that. Not like super complex thoughts, just that very basic thing. But that really stuck with me as a kid.
Yeah, and like Star Wars, I feel like it was in a lot of ways the same thing. You know, it gave you a moral compass. And looking at Star Wars now, it's the same thing. If you look at the original trilogy, which is my favorite Star Wars, But some of it is dated and some of it, you know, doesn't hold up that well. But at the time it was so amazing and there was nothing like it.
Yeah.
That's what kids today don't understand when I try to explain to them. It's like now every weekend there's a new amazing movie that has effects that you could never believe. But
and there's dozens of TV shows that are basically genre TV shows. There's a half dozen or more Marvel shows in production at any one time, let alone all the sci-fi shows and even fantasy shows. And you're right. In the 70s, when we were kids, there was nothing. Yeah. Like, every now and then somebody talks about Buck Rogers or Battlestar Galactica, and like, boy, those were so terrible. And it's like, why why do people even talk about them? And the answer is they were all that was on television then.
Yeah.
And Star Wars as a film was coming into an era where there was like 2001 was a big movie that was released like 9 years earlier, 10 years earlier. It was a long time before.
And
there were a
cerebral.
Few here and there, but they were not like Star Wars was a shock when it came in. As a Star Trek fan, I was a little taken aback because it's like, but Star Trek, what is this Star Wars? And my best friend became this maniacal Star Wars fan. And I felt really jealous because it's like, but I love Star Wars. So it was like, I could be offended even then. Yes, it's true, kids. Even in 1977, Star Wars versus Star Trek was happening.
Probably more than now.
Yeah, but Star Wars was good. You know, that was the bottom line, is that I couldn't turn away from it. It was too great. As a 6 year old, I could totally get Star Wars.
Gene Roddenberry's son, was a guest on the Mac Power Users.
Right.
And he told us that when he was a kid, he always had Star Wars birthday cakes because he loves Star Wars. And he said his dad was cool with it. He says, whatever, you love it, go for it, you know. And I think there can be love on both sides of that.
Yeah. Well, know? And I'm thinking, well, from Gene Roddenberry's perspective, the success of Star Wars also made him a lot of money because it suddenly made Star Trek way more valuable than it had been before.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened, is literally they were planning on doing a TV series, and there came a moment where they're like, no, here's millions of dollars, go make a movie.
Yeah.
We want Star Wars money.
Yeah.
Not this TV show money.
Yeah.
So that's hilarious. Yeah. My best friend had like a Darth Vader cake for one birthday. I remember that very clearly.
Yeah. We didn't have a lot of money. So I had like, I would use cardboard wrapping paper tubes, and they would break. You know, those were my lightsabers.
Sure.
And then we figured out how to wrap them in duct tape, and then they became quite painful as we swung them at each other. I don't know. It was a great time to be a kid.
Oh yeah, I would crawl into a cardboard box and pretend that it was like an X-wing
or
a Viper from Battlestar Galactica. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, these are among the things that we spend our time doing. Anything else that we haven't covered?
I think we've exposed why it's so important for us to become free agents. We have lots of things we want to do.
Lots of other stuff we want to do. Contrary to popular belief, I don't go to lots of baseball games, although I do harbor a dream of one day living near a ballpark somewhere and being able to just kind of go over there every day and be the kind of old man keeping score out in the outfield every day at a baseball game someday.
I could see you doing it on your iPad 28.
That might be. It's possible with Apple Pencil.
Yeah. Or whatever it is.
90th generation.
Or maybe just using your Retina computer or something.
No, I actually like keeping score. I have a scorebook. I like keeping score with a pen on paper. It's very pleasurable. I know it's weird. People don't understand baseball, but it's great. I love it.
When I was a kid, I used to do that.
So if I move to, if I semi-retire and move to San Diego and just, you'll see me in the outfield, the Padres games, keeping score. That'll be me. Look for me there.
Especially when there's Giants in town.
Future listeners. Yeah. Well, that too. Yeah. Well, okay. So this has been a very special episode of Free Agents, where we talk about all sorts of things that aren't really about us being free agents, but you know, it's the membership episode. We don't know.
Yeah. It kind of feels like just you and me having lunch together or something.
Yeah. I think that's basically what we're giving people. And the fact is, if it was a topic that we wanted to talk about on the show, we're going to say that for the show. And so you're going to get that, and everybody else is going to get that too. But this is meant to be a bonus that falls outside of all that continuity. You know, Darth Vader, might not be Luke's father in this. Like, did you ever read Splinter of the Mind's Eye? Did you read that book?
I read them all.
Splinter of the Mind's Eye was one of the first Star Wars books, and it was set after the original Star Wars, before they knew that Luke and Leia were brother and sister, because they added that later.
Yeah.
And so it was hilarious because they further their relationship. They kiss a couple of times, yeah. And it's like, oh, it's getting hot, it's getting good, and then Empire Strikes Back came out and we're all like, oh no, and that book was suppressed after that.
Well, I mean, like, I don't think George realized how big it was going to get.
No.
And then suddenly, like, after, at some point, he's like, oh wait, I gotta like figure this story out.
Yeah, and they swerved a little bit, but
that's,
I love those.
That's why I laugh, because right now with the current trilogy, there's a lot of concern that they don't have it figured out enough, and I'm like, they never had it figured out.
No.
It's okay. Just let them make their movies.
I think in 1977, when Star Wars was opening, George was like, well, if we can get to a third movie, Ewoks.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that was happening. All right. Well, this is enough nonsense for this bonus episode. Thank you for being a supporter of Relay FM. We really appreciate it. And thank you for listening to Free Agents. If you are a regular listener, and if not, hey, we talk about being an independent worker in a digital age over there and not as much about Star Wars. Anyway, check us out, relay.fm/freeagents. And until our next regular episode, say goodbye, David Sparks.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.